Could Deuce Knight be the guy at quarterback? It's not going to be easy.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up? We are back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five. Happy Friday. We are going to talk a little bit more about who could be the quarterback. What's the move next for Auburn at quarterback? We're going to talk Deuce Knight today. Talked to KJ Lacy yesterday. Some interesting storylines about him from last football season, and he almost was an Auburn commit. And then just talk about who he is and what kind of effort Auburn's going to have to put in to pull this off. It's not going to be easy. But before we do, you know, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes. Let me tell you something that is easy, and that's verifying that all the hard work you've done to put in, to save, to grow your wealth is actually going to get you where you need to be. It's pretty easy to verify that. You just check out Ford Stokes, go to retirementresults.com/plan, and he'll give you a free portfolio analysis to make sure you're on the right path. And if you're not, he'll have several different suggestions, a lot of things he may have access to that you can't get in a lot of places elsewhere. He's the guy for you. Check him out. He's a big Auburn guy. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you, and make a friend at the same time. So great guy, Ford Stokes, Retirement Results, presented by Active Wealth, retirementresults.com/plan. Okay, if you listened to the show yesterday, we talked about what the next moves were for Auburn at the quarterback position, because it seems like, again, I don't think the door is 100% closed, but there's not much light shining through those cracks. It's pretty much over with Juju Lewis. I believe he's going to go elsewhere. So does most of the Auburn family. When I say family, I'm talking about staff, reporters, guys that are on the inside. There's a lot of feelings that Juju Lewis is headed elsewhere. You've had KJ Lacy sort of right there for a very long time. He was almost an Auburn commit. Deuce Knight is another one that was almost an Auburn commit that you do have a relationship with. One thing that I think you got in your favor is Deuce Knight is very, very close with several guys from the 2024 class. Your Perry Thompsons, your Bryce Canes, those guys were very tight with Deuce Knight. And there was a time when if things would have gone the correct way, he would have probably been your quarterback commit as soon as, you know, football season of last year. Quick storyline about what some weird stuff happened with him. I think it may have, I don't want to say spooked, but it may have just said, hey, let's just take a step back and just evaluate this a little bit further and kind of put a little caution, I guess, on Auburn on moving forward with him as your sort of your pillar, your foundation of the 2026 or 2025 class. 2 weeks before the football season, he's from Loosedale, Mississippi, George County High School. He's been there basically his whole high school career. But 2 weeks before the season last year, he transfers to Lipscomb Academy in Tennessee. Really should not a lot of fanfare, not a lot of really a hype that it was going to happen. Just kind of transferred. Lipscomb's a private academy. They get a lot of transfers. It's sort of like a diet check IMG Academy, but they still play really good football. Dr. Thunder IMG Academy, they do play good football. They get kids from all over the place. And, you know, if that name sounds familiar, that's Hank Brown's high school. Hank Brown played the year prior. They went 13-0, and he threw for a billion yards. But Deuce Knight transfers to Lipscomb Academy less than 2 weeks before the season starts. Starts the year with him, plays three games. They lose all three. He doesn't play spectacular, but he plays pretty good. Completes, you know, around 60% of his passes for someone that showed up, maybe 14 days or less before that first kickoff. they play three games, they lose three games, and then he just kind of all of a sudden transfers back to George County, and I think finishes out the season there. And, you know, right around the time of the transfer, that's when things were getting hot and heavy with Auburn. So he goes there and he plays three games, and he has decent success. You're thinking he might be the Auburn committee's on ESPN playing against Saraland, and KJ Lacy has a tough game, but I mean, Saraland was loaded, has a tough game there. And all the situation around the early transfer and then transferring back, and then finishing out the season. And I don't think he really finished out the season spectacular from a passing perspective. I think he completed somewhere in the 50% of a little bit over 50% of his passes. And I personally think the flux of him moving is what messed him up. Not so much that's just who he is. And you know, I get kids wanting to go play for like a, you know, an IMG type setup. You know, you go, it's basically college prep. I get that. I get you're going to go play for a team that's going to be on ESPN. You go play for a team that's going to be on television. You get a chance to possibly shine on the big stage in the high school. I get wanting to do that, but I also can see how the movement, learning a playbook, and then trying to come back and then gel back with your team after you just left them 10 days prior. I can see where that could cause a lot of issues, but for whatever reason, Auburn kind of pulled back, pumped the brakes a little bit on accepting that commitment. Didn't stop recruiting him, but just kind of relaxed a little bit on that. I think had he stayed at his high school in Mississippi, he probably has a pretty good year, and he's probably already an Auburn commitment because, again, like I said, very, very close with several of the 2024 class. So you still have that connection. You still do have that relationship. You still do have those commits. You do have an opportunity to, you know, maybe go back and fire those up and get those guys in on him as well. And then if you play good and those guys sort of show out, I think he could, you know, that could possibly be something to work out. I don't know that Auburn can wait that long. You probably got to make something happen pretty quick, but regardless, I think there's at least a connection there. This is not just like what people say, oh, why are we, you're going after all these committed quarterbacks. Well, yes, but it's guys that you have pretty good. You have a good relationship with. It's not like you're just calling random dudes that are committed elsewhere. And you're trying to, you know, pull them last minute. No, these are guys you've fostered relationships with. At times, they both have looked like they could be Auburn commits. And for whatever reason, both times, some things didn't work out. Auburn went in different directions at the moment. And now you got a chance to circle back, and you're going to have to be aggressive. You're going to have, if you're going to get one of these guys, you got to be really aggressive. So who is Deuce Knight? Deuce Knight has all the NFL physical tools. Okay. Regardless of how the season played out for him last year, he is a freak. Okay. He just is. He's 6'4. He's 200 plus pounds. He runs a 4.5 and at times sub 4.5 40. So the kid can run. The kid is big, and he can throw. He's got an NFL arm. You're talking, I think in the Elite 11, they had a distance challenge. I think he threw it somewhere around 70 plus yards. He's left-handed too. So that, and everything left-handed people do just looks cooler. I don't know why, but it just does. Maybe because we're just used to seeing it from the right side. And when you see something from the left side, it just looks cool. So physical attributes are not a requirement for this offense. It doesn't make you necessarily a better tool to run the offense, but it's always a good option to have, especially when things break down. A guy that's bigger that can move, can take a little bit more of the pounding of the SEC than, you know, maybe like a KJ Lacy. But it doesn't make you better at the RPO. I just talked about this. I talked about this yesterday. The running part of the RPO is not the quarterback. 9 times out of 10. I'm sure there's some quarterback run options off of an RPO, but for the most, you read, and you get the R is the give to the running back, and then the P is the pass option to either the quick slant, the back shoulder fade, the bubble screen, stuff like that. Okay, it's not a read option offense. A read option offense is what you saw with Nick Marshall and Gus Malzahn and Trey Mason. Now, if you have that offense, Deuce is the guy. Deuce is the guy you want for that. But he's also started to kind of polish himself as a passer. Now, I understand that the Elite 11 is not pads. And I understand that when the lights come on and the pads start popping, things change. All of it changes, okay? But regardless, accuracy was an issue. Last year, he goes to the Elite 11, and he absolutely tears it up. I think one site had him had him as their top quarterback. I think On3 possibly had them as their number one quarterback of the Elite 11. That's a huge jump to go from where you were last year. You're not really sure what school you're going to play for. You complete just barely over 50% of your passes. And then you go to the Elite 11 and you tear it up. You tear it up. And at least one site thought you were the best quarterback there. You'd make a huge jump in the recruiting rankings. And in the meantime, he had committed to Notre Dame. So a lot of good positivity has been going Deuce Knight's way as far as becoming an elite quarterback. This year, he's locked in at George County. He's not going anywhere. So barring some 2 weeks prior to the season, some uncanny move happens, he's going to finish out his senior year at George County High School, and right outside of, or maybe on the outskirts of Loosedale. Maybe it's in the city limits of Loosedale. I'm not sure. Basically, just west of Mobile, like that South Mississippi. He's going to be there all season. He's been working on his game, and I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to have a really good year and sort of continue the evolution. He may have taken a slight step back with all the moving around last year, but it seems like he's sort of back on the right track. Dominated at the Elite 11, and I think he's probably going to do pretty good at that level of competition in Mississippi. So physically, he's he's a lot of the things that you love about where the college football quarterback position is going. Big fast guys that can throw it a mile. I mean, those always seem to kind of do well. And they're sort of ahead of the game physically, and they can play early. And that may be something that Auburn has to have. So you got the relationship. Obviously, from a physicality aspect, he's a pretty kid to look at as far as quarterback. He's a pretty quarterback prospect to look at on the hoof, and then he looks good on the field as well. So physically, he's there. I think his game's getting there. This time last year, I probably wouldn't have said the same thing, but I think his game – from just being a passer, it is getting better and better and better. So who knows what could happen after one more year. Now, can Auburn get this guy? That is the million-dollar question. He's committed to Notre Dame. Notre Dame has a lot of similarities to Clemson as far as their recruitment policies or recruitment practices go. They get guys, and they may flip. I'm not saying kids from Notre Dame don't flip, but typically when they get guys, they strongly discourage visits. They strongly discourage other relationships and contacts. And typically those guys are tough to pull. It's tough to pull a kid from Notre Dame. I'll tell you something else. It is what it is. Notre Dame is Notre Dame. They're a big brand. So the quarterback at Notre Dame is a very, very marketable, from an NIL's perspective, a very, very marketable guy. Very, very marketable product, okay? So if you're a good quarterback at Notre Dame and Notre Dame is good, you're a celebrity. Big brands are going to want to partner with you, okay? So that is definitely something that – that's another thing that's tough, because Auburn's sort of a small market team that plays big-time football and has success – has had a lot of success at big time football, but still the quarterback at Notre Dame is a lot like the quarterback at USC, the celebrity aspect of it. It just is. That's the way That's the way it goes with Notre Dame. They're sort of the, you know, one of the old heads, blue bloods, even though they haven't been that great recently. They're one of the blue bloods from tradition standpoint of college football. So that's tough to compete with in and of itself. Okay. Now, another thing that's tough, but it's also something that may be a little bit more manageable from an NIL perspective, is their NIL is very similar to Auburn's as far as transparency goes. Okay. They don't play games. They don't play it's very similar. What you see is what you get, and it's good. Okay. And it's competitive and it's aggressive. But the good thing about that is that there is no imaginary stuff added to it to inflate the number to something that there's no way it'll ever be. And then Auburn has to go compete with an imaginary number. That's not going to be the case with Notre Dame. Okay. It's going to be, this is what it is. And it's basically, you're not going to have to hope that the dominoes fall correctly to get this. This is what it's going to be when you get here. And that's the same way with Auburn. So on the security of that is going to be hard to flip, but also knowing where you have to be and knowing that it's a real thing, is a kind of a pro in Auburn's direction. So if you know what that is, you know what you have to be to compete, you know what you have to be to get him, and you feel good that that's a real number. You feel good that that's a real number, unlike some of the stuff with surrounding, Colorado and the things that they do. You feel really good about what Notre Dame puts out there. You feel confident about it, so you know what you got to pull. But it's not going to be – it's not like it's going to be cheap. It's not like it's going to be something easy. And you don't have any leverage right now. No, as Auburn, you have zero leverage. So you really got to put the guy – if you want Deuce Knight, all you have is going to be tested. Everything from recruiting prowess to relationships – to NIL, I'm gonna be honest, NIL funding, everything will be tested to be able to flip Deuce Knight if that's the guy you want. But you'd feel confident in knowing that you're not going up against hopes and dreams. You're going up against something concrete. And I think that's easy to probably sell to folks to, you know, want to get in and help. I think Deuce Knight could be just as big of a hit in Auburn as he could be at Notre Dame. And I think he could be a really good quarterback for Hugh Freeze. I still think he's got some polishing to do. I don't want to put all the stock in an Elite 11 appearance, an Elite 11 showing, but still, I think he could possibly continue to grow and be a really good quarterback, a really interesting weapon to use that Hugh Freeze can have sort of at his disposal. He's had success with running quarterbacks. Doesn't have to have a running quarterback. Deuce Knight would be somebody that could maybe open up a new type of a new element of this Hugh Freeze offense. So again, if I had to say which one would be an easier get, I think situationally KJ Lacy is probably a little bit more realistic. But I don't think either one of them are off the table. I don't think Deuce Knight is off the table. If Auburn really wants to go, they got to get extremely aggressive. I think he could possibly be the guy. And I think if you get either one of those, you're extremely happy. You're extremely happy. If it goes past those guys, you get a little nervous. Both of those guys could create some buzz. Both of those guys could attract some other wide receivers, some other types of big-time players to come play with them. Past that, everybody's price tag goes up. So I'm just going to be honest. If you don't get one of those guys, you're going to have to go probably find a project quarterback, and then everybody around him, their price tag is going to go up. So you're just going to make stuff harder on yourself if you can't get one of these guys, and you're sort of in a pickle with the timing. So you need to figure out the play. You got to figure out which one of these guys you're going to push for, and you need to get them here for Big Cat Weekend. If you get both, that'd be great. You're probably not going to happen. You're probably going to have to figure it out pretty quick which one it's going to be. Get them here for Big Cat Weekend and try to make a move. try to make a move and try to lock it down. And ideally, you like to have something done before Big Cat Weekend so you have your quarterback here. And I don't think that's out of the question either, but you definitely got to figure out which one you are, which one you're going to make the play on, and get them here for Big Cat Weekend. So Auburn's kind of backed in a corner right now. Hugh Freeze is kind of backed in a corner right now as far as quarterbacks go. You got to make a move. You got to make a move fast. You land either one of these two guys who, by all accounts, are the top two targets moving forward. I think you're still happy. I think you're still happy with the quarterback class, and you can still build really well. Both of these kids are highly ranked. They're going to help your ranking out a ton, and there's a lot of ancillary stuff surrounding them that could help you continue the buzz moving forward. So we'll see what happens. Who knows what will happen over the weekend. Crazy stuff happens over the weekend. Conversations happen, all kind of stuff. So let's see what happens. You still can't visit, so you're still a couple of weeks away from being able to be on campus, but the phones are burning. The phones are melting. I'm sure that there's a lot of conversations being had. So let's see how this thing plays out. Those two are the top two that basically everybody's talking about. There could be some other prospects that pop up in the future. And if they do, we'll talk about it. But this is kind of it for right now. So this seems like the play, one of these two guys. So let's see what happens. And we'll recap it on Monday if anything goes down this weekend. Really appreciate it. Another great week. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Share it with a friend. Click share on the bottom. Share it with a friend. Also, if you want to be alerted, I'm still trying to hit that sweet spot of when the best time to sort of premiere or launch the show. So if you're unsure, hit that. When you hit the subscribe, hit that bell, and it'll notify you whenever it goes live. So follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and we'll be back on Monday, and we're going to get after it again. Have another great week. So I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.